Well, good morning again. And again, if you're first time visiting here, welcome to the Mormon Church of Christ Sunday service. Great to be with you this morning. Okay, everyone, so we finished 1 Corinthians, and so now we decided let's go on and do 2 Corinthians. And look, a bit of background. Some people think this wasn't Paul's second letter. It might have been his third or his fourth letter. All conjecture, but nonetheless, it's a great passage of scripture. Some great scriptures here in 2 Corinthians. So let's read the first few verses together. And in verse 1, sorry, I just got to switch glasses here. Funny I have to do that, but I do. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble, with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our hearts, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You know, it's a great passage of scripture. And obviously, you know, Paul starts off because he wants to let them know that he went through a lot of stuff in his life. There were some troubles that Paul went through. And he talks about this whole idea that he's grateful for the comfort that God gave him. And then he'll go on the second part of that and relay the fact that he realized that this didn't happen. This happened for a reason. That it happened for a reason. You know, as we go through this passage of scripture, I've got 2 points I want to talk about. And my first point is that every cloud has a silver lining, first point. And second point, that everything happens for a reason. And I think that, you know, these are kind of, and what I love this passage of scripture, because many times in my life I've had to draw on this passage of scripture. I've looked at this to get strength from. In the same way that Paul looked at his life and what he was going through to get strength from. You know, at the beginning there, he talks about the whole idea that God is a God of comfort. And that's nice to know. That we worship a compassionate God. He's a God of comfort. And I don't know what you think of when you think of comfort. And I don't even know, you know, where do you get comfort from? Some people get comfort from many different places. Maybe you get comfort from shopping. I was talking about my sister's pointing at my mum. She's pointing at mum, and you know they talk about that shopping offers you a sort of therapy, if you like. You know, instead of giving your money to someone else, maybe a counsellor, you know, then use that money to go buy something and make yourself feel good. I don't know how long that lasts for. I'd imagine there's maybe a bit of comfort in it, and then there are people that go onto eBay. You know, I don't know how many of you just go on eBay. I think a lot of you are not being honest here, by the way. There should be more hands up. Or Gumtree or something like that. I think a lot of you, and a lot of people do that, and they find comfort in these things. Maybe you find comfort in food. How many of you have certain comfort? They talk about comfort foods. Have you got certain foods that when you're not feeling well, you're feeling a bit stressed out, you know, you think, I need to get some of this in me because it will just make me feel comfortable. I have a comfort food. I like ice cream.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I've got, forget all this fancy dessert stuff, My Kitchen Rules, you know, MasterChef. Forget all that fancy stuff. I'm telling you, it's very simple. I'll give you a simple recipe. Peter's ice cream, white, or blue ribbon, chocolate sauced, and crushed nuts, and you have got the perfect dessert in my mind. And that's all you need. And I'll tell you now, if those judges, those My Kitchen Rule judges came to my house, that's what they get served up for dessert. And if they didn't like it, I'd say they were lying, because you can't, how can you not like it? But, you know, it's food. For some of it is food. Maybe just need a big hug. You know, there are times we need comfort, because life gets stressful. It gets challenging. You get sick. You know, when someone dies that's close to you, you know, we all experience those things, you know. You need comfort, don't you? You need something to kind of, something to grab a hold of you. You know, I remember growing up when I moved out of home, and I would get sick. And I didn't live far away from mum and dad, but I would get sick at times at home. Not at home, sorry, I live with the brothers. And I remember that if I was going to get sick, I knew exactly where I need to go. My mum's nodding her head. And you can call me a wuss, you can call me whatever you want, but I would go home to mum. I knew exactly where I needed to go. Because I tell you now, living with the brothers, okay, you could die before they realise. If you were really sick, seriously, they'd only notice something until there was a bad smell. You know? And rigor mortis had set in. You know, you already got a bit stiff or something. And then maybe you might get some attention. And even then, they'd probably think, he'll be fine. But I knew where I need to go. That I need to go home, you know, because my mum would comfort me, you know. She would feed me. She would look after me. And that's what we want, right? When the hard times come, you want to be looked after. And Paul says that. Before he goes on and even he begins to give us a bit of a snippet of what he went through. He says, you know, whatever was going on, you know, but God was a God of comfort. I learned that I got comfort from God. And that's hence the saying, you know, every cloud, you know, has a silver lining. No matter how cloudy it is, no matter how dark it seems, that cloud ultimately will have a silver lining. Paul learnt that from his life. And I think in this text, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we learn these lessons? Because I think a lot of us, we don't learn the way we need to. Because we don't understand that, we're not feeling the comfort from God. And sometimes I wonder why we struggle to feel that comfort, because maybe we're looking for the wrong sort of comfort. Now, it's interesting because when you look at this word, comfort, it's a little bit different to the comfort that you may think. And you can think, well, why do they write comfort then? If it doesn't mean what we think. Because we look at comfort and we get comfort in a different way. And we want comfort in a different way. You know, the Greek word here, parakalesis, something like that. I'm not Greek, so pardon my lack of Greek accent. You know, it means to urge or to strengthen or to simply encourage. And in the Latin version of the Bible, the Latin word, which is, I like the translation actually, the Latin word is fortis. And the way it's meant to be pronounced is like really fortis, you know. It's got this, I shouldn't be saying fortis, you know. No, it's not fortis, it's fortis. You know, it's got this real strength, and it really means to be brave. It really means to be strong. So when it says that God is the God of all comfort, it's not this sense that God's just kind of patting you, oh, poor me, poor you. It's not the comfort that God gives. It's one to make you brave, one to make you strong, one to urge you. And that's a different translation. And I think sometimes, you know, why do we struggle at times to find the comfort? Because maybe we play the blame game. Maybe when things don't go well, your first response is, well, why me? Or maybe your response is to get angry or self-piteous about your life. Instead of really realizing, you know what? Hey, you know, I've got to get a different, I've got to look to God and realize God wants me to be brave here. Because then he'll go on to say that there's a reason for this. Because when you find the true comfort is God and God, that allows you to do what at that point? It allows you to do what? Comfort others. He says that, right? He says to comfort others. And I think at times we struggle to comfort. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's going through a tough time? Health reasons. They're just struggling. Maybe they're depressed. They've gotten really anxious in their lives and they're really struggling mentally. Haven't you ever not known what to say? Have you ever struggled? What do you do in those situations? Sometimes you might think, well, maybe you don't need to do anything and just give them a big hug. And that may be true. So I'm not saying each situation now you come across that you need to go up and sit someone down and say, well, let me urge you, let me encourage you, let me help you to be brave. That's not the point. But there may be a point where you may just need to do that as well. And I think at times we don't know what to say because we haven't felt that comfort. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 for a second. Romans chapter 5. Thanks, Shelly girl. I recognise that voice anyway. In a crowd of millions, I recognise that voice. You know, he goes on, he says, but beginning in verse 3, he says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know, and I've got to ask, and even though these points are similar, every cloud has a silver lining and everything happens for a reason, is I think God gives us golden opportunities in our lives. I really believe that. I believe everything we go through ultimately is a golden opportunity for us to learn and for us to grow. And the question is, do we see that? Because sometimes we don't see that. And we blame God. We blame everything. We blame someone else. And we stay where we are. And we're not really growing and learning. And I asked myself this question this morning, you know, how many of these situations have I missed in my life? I'm grateful for some, without a doubt, because I was forced to learn some big lessons. But how many am I grateful for? How many have I missed where God was giving me opportunities to really change and I just blew it off and just got self-piteous and just, nah, I'm not going to wear this. If God's trying to teach me something, I don't like the lesson I'm learning. And I don't want to learn this lesson.
Yep.
And what happens is we wonder at times while we're stuck where we are in our lives and in our characters. And that may sound harsh, but I don't think it is when you understand what God's got in store for you. And I don't want to be hard-hearted. I don't want to be arrogant towards God's lessons in my life. I want to take it on board. I want to think, no. God wants me to understand that every cloud has that silver lining. Let's go on. Let's go to the second point, because I feel like I'm already ready to go on to my second point anyway.
Come on.
So 2 Corinthians, because that's what he gets to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go back there for a second. So he says in verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, the brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. He talks about these hardships. We don't know what these hardships were. We know in Ephesus, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he fought wild beasts in Ephesus. We don't know exactly what these hardships were, but we can get a bit of a clue as to what he might be talking about if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read this for a second, just to give a bit of context here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's a nice little list. And to pick up in verse 21, we'll read a little bit here. He says, to my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. In other words, he's boasting on where they are in their lives. But he says, what anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Now, you know, if that was my list, I'd think I've already endured too much. I don't know about you. If you can say, man, I've been flogged more severely and I've faced death over and over again, that would be a lifetime worth of struggle for most of us.
Yeah.
It would be, right? If you've been flogged, How many have been flogged for being a disciple? Seriously. None of us have been physically flogged, I don't think. It happens around the world, yes. But none of us have had that. Now, I know, you've got to put this in context because, you know, Paul's going to take it even further here. And you've got to ask yourself, if I compare my list, could I put a list together of the things I've had to endure? Yeah, of course I could. Could you put a list together? You could put a list together of the things you've had to go through in your life. Would it compare to this? Probably not. And yet Paul's going to say, every cloud basically has a silver lining. I'm understanding the comfort of God. And by the way, these things happen that I might not rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. And he goes on. So I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 5 times. Now, 40 lashes minus one, because the Bible said, the Old Testament said, you can't give more than 40. So to make sure they didn't go over the law, they gave 39 to make sure, just in case someone miscounted. That's why it says that. Did you all know that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're a learned people. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I know how this guy physically looked. If you could strip his back, it would be a mess.
Yeah.
It would be a mess. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Now, I don't know if this is the one I've got to bring in Malta here, obviously, for my parents' sake. But obviously we know one of those times was in Malta. Was he talking about that? Maybe Malta hadn't even happened. I think it probably would have happened by then. Because I say from there he went to Spain and may have written this. That's another story, though. He says, I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I know some of you can relate to that. But you understand, when he says that, he didn't move from apartment to apartment necessarily. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers, if that's not enough. Okay? There are brothers from the church that were false, weren't to be true. Well, false brothers are people who pretend. I have laboured and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. It's kind of different, isn't it? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artus had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I don't even know why he mentions that at the end, because I think, gee, Paul, you've said enough. Why do you have to bother with, you know, slipping from a king? And the basket thing sounds like an adventure more than anything else. You know what I mean? That'd be a cool thing to do versus everything else he's just listed there. But, you know, Paul has this list and you think, man, when he wrote 2 Corinthians 1, had all this already happened? I don't know how much he's really talking about. All I know is whatever it was, Paul was feeling the pressure when he says everything happens for a reason. Matter of fact, in the RSV version of that verse, it says, For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction or the pressure we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. We were utterly and unbearably crushed, he says, that we despaired of life. We just simply wanted to die. And I don't know about you, but I think, okay, so when a guy says to you, when Paul the Apostle says, hey, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God that raised the dead, I said, man, this is a pretty big lesson here. I mean, this is really pouring on the heat to learn a lesson. I would like to think, God, you didn't have to do anything like that to me for me to learn. I don't want you to get anywhere near this to help me to learn. And yet sometimes in our arrogance and our stubbornness, sometimes that's exactly what God has to do so that we will turn to him. You see, God is a God of compassion. He is a God of love, the Bible says. And you need to know that. that you worship that God. But do you come to him for your strength? Do you come to him for your comfort? You know, we've become a bit of a pill-popping society. It's amazing where we get our comfort from. And I'm not about to give a speech on medication about depression or anxiety or anything like that. I know what that's like. I know what's to live with that. All I know is sometimes it's too easy to rely on those things. It's about what you rely on. There are times we have to do whatever we need to do to get ourselves in a position. But what do you rely on is the issue. And I believe, and I take this personally, because I like the fact that God wants me to be brave. Because at times I can be a coward. There are times I don't want to do any of this. At times I just want to go into my little shell and do my own little thing to bring comfort to myself. Instead of realizing there's a God of comfort out there who wants to encourage me and urge me. So what do I do with my life when things start to happen? I believe, without a doubt, that everything happens for a reason. And if it doesn't, if there is no reason, and if it's self-inflicted, then whatever's going on, I want to learn from that. Are you a glass half full or a half empty person? You know, what sort of a person are you? You can have many different responses to what happens in your life. When things start to go wrong, when your health starts to suffer, when you have financial problems, when you just don't feel good, when you think maybe you've got the wrong person. Maybe you thought, I've married the wrong person here. What am I doing with this person? What was God actually thinking when he brought us together? It's just not working out anymore. Why do 50% of couples end up in divorce, and those couples that stay together, what are their marriages like anyway? Because God wants us to have awesome marriages. He wants me to have a great marriage. And there are times my marriage hasn't gone well with Karen. And that's not because of her fault. That's me. I'm the problem in our marriage. I'll take that on. I hope she says the same. But if she doesn't, that's bad luck. She takes it on. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But I've got to say to myself, if our marriage isn't going well, it's my fault. I can't point the finger. Is my wife annoying at times? Never. And I'd be a stupid man to say anything else publicly, and especially while I'm mic'd up. But I'll tell you, men, if this is a men's meeting and there are women here, and I could ask you to block off your ears. Is my wife annoying? Block off your ears, sisters. Yes, absolutely. But she's saying, how come? If she doesn't know, well, we'll get home and have a little conversation about it. Am I annoying? Absolutely. Let me tell you now, one thing I've convinced of. It would be contemptuous, and I can't say this strongly enough. It would be contemptuous to my God to suggest I'm not married to the right person. Contemptuous. I can't be strong enough. I've said it. I know it's contemptuous if I think anything else. I'll tell you why, because I absolutely believe that God put us together. And I'm meant to be married to my wife. And if it's not going well, if there are issues, right, then I've got things to learn. And if I don't learn it, God will keep bringing it up. It'll keep being there. If it doesn't come through her, it'll come through someone else. I don't even know what that means when I say that. I'm just uttering words from the Holy Spirit here. But it will. It'll come from someone else. Someone else will say something. And I think the simple point here, and it needs to be simple because I'm probably out of time. Are you learning? Because Paul said he learned from all this to rely on God who raises the dead. Are you learning and living? Are you living and learning? Both apply. Are you learning and living? Are you living and learning? Or have you stopped? You've just gotten discouraged, given up. This is as good as it gets. Because I don't think that's God's plan for my life, and hopefully you believe that's not God's plan for your life. We've got so much work to do. We have so much comforting to do. amongst ourselves, amongst the world out there that's lost, that needs someone to comfort them. Not with the big arms and, you know, let me go and buy your Maccas, let's go and get drunk together. Not that sort of comfort. That's the comfort they do. Let's go and party on. Let's get a bunch of guys to go to a strip joint. Whatever. I mean, you know, I shouldn't be saying these things. But that's the way the world gets comfort. No, to make you brave, to stand up, to face your troubles, to face what's going on in your life. To take responsibility. To own your sin. Stop blaming everyone else. That's the comfort that God brings to your life. And yeah, it's not an easy lesson, but ultimately it will bring comfort. Ultimately it will change your life. Ultimately it'll make your marriage better. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better work colleague. Things will ultimately change in your life. You know, there are some common lessons from God, just to finish up with. Common lessons from God. Surrender is a common lesson from God. I see that in my life. How many times have I got on my knees and said, okay, God, I surrender. I'm tired of fighting. I've had to do that. Okay, I surrender. I'm just going to let it happen, whatever's going on. I'm just going to hand it over to you, whatever. If Paul says I can face death, if I can face death in the eye and realize I've got to rely on God, then I want to get to the point where if I'm dying, I'm surrendered. And I can joyfully give up my life. Surrender is a big one. Patience is another one. That's a common lesson from God. How surrendered are you? How patient are you? To trust God is a common lesson. To simply obey God is, I think, a lesson that God's always trying to teach us. Pardon me. To not to fear is a common lesson I think God teaches us. Don't fear. Don't be afraid, because often when we face trials, we panic, we get anxious, we get worried, we have doubts. You know what? The lessons God wants us to deal with, not to be afraid. Don't let your life be ruled by fear. There's an old saying, I've said it here a few times, but a life lived in fear is a life half lived. A life lived in fear is a life half lived. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He really doesn't. He doesn't want us to give into these things. And that's a lesson he wants you to learn. And I know what it's like to be fearful. And I also know what it's like not to give in to fear. And I pray to God to make me strong. I do. I ask God, God, make me brave, make me strong. I don't want to give in to fear. I don't want to live a life of fear. Afraid to do this, afraid to do that. Afraid to fly, it's all sorts of things. Afraid to publicly speak, whatever it is. I don't want to be afraid. I hate the feeling of being afraid. I don't know about you, I do. And I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to be strong and brave and courageous as I rely on my God. Just end up with, what lessons are you learning? Do you have the attitude to learn? Do you have the attitude today? Can you go away from here and decide that whatever's going on in your life, it's happening for a reason? And if it's not happening for a reason, what can I learn and what can I hand over to God and what can God teach me through what I'm going through? There's another old saying, let go and let God. Let's let go and let God and receive the true comfort that God wants to give us as we live our lives for Him, and to Him be the glory. Amen. Let's all stand and sing one final song.